All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe, you can say an amen.
Amen.
All right, welcome to today's School of Prayer. Can you welcome somebody on your left and your right? Especially if the person is looking very happy. If the person is looking unhappy, greet somebody else, but ask him, what's the problem? Ask that one, say, what's the issue? Hallelujah. The Lord is good. I'm hearing too many, what's the issue, though? If we should please answer. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. All right. We know we are doing a series of teachings in our School of Prayer on the matter of faith. And we are going to continue now. Before we start, let's take our declaration to open our spirits to receive understanding. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now let's go on to Now I declare.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
Amen.
Let's take our seats so we can continue looking at the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm trying to make up my mind whether to say this first or not. Let's say it. As I was looking for something on my phone just now, that's on my notes, I stumbled into a note I wrote long ago. So I said, let me just take a minute and share something from there. It's a prayer matter, something I shared in TCC, one of the All Believers Prayer Conventions a few years ago when I was teaching there. And just to remind Christians that the life of the believer has four things to it. It was when I was going to share there that the inspiration came to me. There are four things about the life of the believer. Four. And make sure you learn, everything you do, bear these four things in mind. I said, number one, the life of the believer is learning. Number two, the life of the believer is obedience, as obeying what you have learned. Number three, the life is asking. And last of all, it is receiving. Let me go over them. Four things: learning, obeying, asking, and receiving. These four things are the principles that guide the life of a Christian. That the one on learning is what you call righteousness. Every time you are learning righteousness, practical righteousness is what we call godliness. Yes, there's righteousness as a gift in which God has accepted you as a child of God. But John said, if you are like that, then you should understand. He that does righteously is righteous. So you don't just say, I've been accepted. You learn what to do. And so you're always learning. You are always learning. Christians are always learning. You learn to be a better citizen in a nation. You learn how to be a better student. You learn how to be a better prayer warrior. You learn how to be a better Christian. You keep learning. You learn how to be a better cook. Yeah. I just want to bring it down to mundane things. You learn how to iron clothes better. Yeah, sounds funny, right? Yeah. I just want to bring it down to the very low things of life. But you learn how to do everything, how to talk, how not to talk, how to forgive. Your life is just about constant learning. That's what it is. That's Christianity. Then number two is, whatever you are learning, you must be obeying them. Now, one and two, they go together. And two, really, I don't have time to teach about that. It's not our topic for today. The obedience is actually a sign of full conviction concerning the things you have learned. I hope you're getting my point. You keep learning until obedience comes out of you. If you are not obeying something, you don't understand it yet. You are not convinced about it. You see, a number of things go together. Knowledge and conviction or faith. The two of them produce what is called full knowledge, complete knowledge. It goes with understanding. That always goes with persuasion. Do you get my point? Yeah, it always goes with persuasion. I had somebody recently give this illustration. Yes, I think it's very, was trying to explain the issue of persuasion. Yeah, and I remember well. So he said, now think about this. I think this really happened, but I'm not sure. But just think about this scenario. You never seen an airplane or helicopter. So a man comes and tells you, they take you and your friends to go and look at it. And they say, this thing can fly. And you trust the man who said so, that it can go up, travel a distance of 5 kilometers, turn around and come back and land where we took off from. So everybody said, yeah, it can, yeah, it's true, it can fly. So the pilot now enters. Say, who will come with me? Everybody refuses. You know why? They are not fully they've heard that it can take off and land. They've heard it. But they are not, what? Persuaded. That's the word. They don't have full persuasion. But these days we have it. So we go blindly into aircrafts. If as long as, sometimes if I have an early morning flight, all that I do on that flight is that you wake up early, get ready. As long as you sit down like that, before the pilot takes off, you have slept off. If it's all those short flights, when they're saying, everybody get ready for landing, that's like, oh, start rubbing your eye. You're so sure that it will take off and it will land. It's not much talk, they've talked to you about it. It's what is called what? Full persuasion. Alright? Now, there's a process as a believer of learning until you enter into full persuasion. It doesn't come with ordinary effort. It comes with prayer. Praying, and because the Holy Spirit will help you. Full persuasion comes from, now let me use this expression. It comes from vision. Why don't you have a problem with aircraft now? You've seen it get up, land. One day I checked it, about 100,000 flights occur worldwide daily. Yes. And they hardly have problems. Are you heard of a crash the other day? That's the one you heard of. What I'm trying to say is that, do you know how many cars crash that period? When a car crashes, it's not news. Where every plane, even if it's carrying only 2 persons, if it touches the ground roughly, it's headline news. The point I make is that they had it drop. So you have seen it, so you are convinced. Now there are things you have not yet seen, and you believe. And Jesus demands that of you. Do you know that? Now if he demands it, and he knows that only vision gives conviction. Did you hear what I said? I heard it, then it rhymed. What did I say? Yeah, only vision gives conviction. Yeah, that's true. So if that's the case, trust me, he knows. In the process of learning, he helps. That's vision that comes to give conviction. It's what is called understanding. You don't have to see a picture or something like a video. But there's a way you understand that you can place something in your mind. Do you get me? A lot of things people say, and I don't believe that. Should I go? This is just gist. Sometimes I stumble into videos. Somebody sitting down and say that somebody was inventing a car that ran on water. And they now killed him. Have you heard that thing before? Yes. And people say, yes, there's a deep state. People, the oil companies. I say, you people didn't do physics in secondary school. That's why you can believe that nonsense. When they were teaching you, you did not listen. You don't know the principle of conservation of energy. Of course, we know. I was just saying with my wife, you know, I saw one of the videos recently. I told my wife, I visited the comment. Yes, yes, yes. I said, since that guy invented, nobody else has discovered it. A lot of you believe this, all these things. Why didn't I believe some of those things? I said, it makes no sense. Can a car run on water? Of course, we know it can run on water. The trains were running on water before. You know that? What do they call them? Steam engines, thank you. But to, you have to bring, you see, to run something on water, you have to ask yourself, where is the energy coming from? When water becomes steam, it takes in energy. But I don't want to teach chemistry now. Let me not sit down there. Some people believe all kinds of things. They see, one day, I was in Kingdom World many years ago. I finished teaching. Somebody came and said that he and his friends, they've invented a generator that does not need fuel. Now I'm wiser, and I know people even try to scam pastors. Then I didn't think it was a scam. I was just curious. I said, so where does the energy come from? He says, an induction process. I said, no, I understand how you convert from motion to electricity. But where does, because when you generate the electricity, there will be resistance on the other end. Those of you know what they call eddy currents. So there are all kinds of things where loss will come from. Resistance will start. Where do you get the energy to overpower that? You know, I was confused, you know, for a long time. Now, I didn't disbelieve them. I just wanted an explanation. Where is the energy? Is it coming from outer space? He spoke up and down. I went to work. I told one of my colleagues. I said, some people told me over the weekend that he said, hey, that there's nothing like it. It's been proven again and again that there's nothing like a perpetual motion machine. Energy must come from somewhere. And one day somebody said that they're selling one. He gave me the number of the person selling. So I called the fellow. Let's scam each other. Okay, I knew it was a scam. Hey, for those who don't know, please, it's a scam. Someone wants to send you a generator that doesn't use fuel. And does not, it's not a solar system. It's not wind. Ask yourself, where is the power coming from? They sell it. People say that they are based in Jos. It's a lie. They are not in Jos. He said he will ship it to me. He said he has one going to Enugu tomorrow. So if I quickly pay, they will send my own too. I say, Jesus is Lord. And you're sending a 20 kVA generator for less than half of the price of a 10 kVA, a 7 kVA petrol generator. And you wonder why the whole world is not using it. They say, they don't want them to know. The oil companies don't want people to know. They say, please, let anybody defraud you, all right? People can lie. Where I'm going is that, why do I disbelieve those things? It doesn't fit. I hear all kinds of things. I believe if anybody tells you, now, please, I've left my message now. If anybody tells you that, look, nobody knows this, you're the only one he's telling. Just know it's fraud. Don't think, it's not the favor that we're talking about in church. I when people say, because he prayed, God is not favor. Why am I saying all of these things? Full persuasion, all right? I said, comes from what? Vision. You can attain that level also through what the Bible calls understanding. I'll give you an example. Had Abraham ever seen anybody raised from the dead? But you know he had a personal vision born out of what? Understanding. So the Bible says he reasoned that since God cannot fail, and God said, that's what is called full persuasion. It's from understanding. It says, God said, in Isaac will your seed be. Then this Isaac doesn't have any seed yet. And I'm supposed to offer him as a burnt offering. Then God must have a plan for raising his ashes from the dead. So he said, guys, bring your camera. Let's see how he's going to do it. The Bible says he received him back as a type. Now, in a figure. Now, I want to just apply that. That became what? Vision for him. It was clear to him. It was very clear to Abraham. Now, when that happens to you, you will obey. That's what I'm saying. If you are not obeying, you are not fully persuaded. Go back and learn and ask God to give you what? Understanding. Like I said, vision produces what? Conviction. Once there's conviction, results are automatic. That is obedience. Obedience, all right, is automatic. Now, what are the 4 points? Learning. Second. Number three. Good. We're in the school of prayer. In this life, everything you will get is a gift. It's not the result of your effort. Everything will come to you as a gift. So learn to ask. Are you getting my point? Yes. Everything, if it's important. Now, first, we're going to get there in a moment. Everything in life will come to you as a gift. Everything is going to come as what? A gift. Now, some of them you will not have to ask. They will just come without you thinking about them. But many of them, it's upon asking you will receive them. But what I want to emphasize is that learn to ask. What did James say? You have not because what? You don't ask. Did you catch that? James said if you don't have, it's because you didn't ask. He said, if you ask and you do not receive, then go and check the basis of asking. What were you? Because to go for the Lord, your motive matters.
What you are thinking of, what you are planning about an issue, it matters. If you are asking so as to maybe your classmates are doing reunion at the end of the year, you now start praying to have something to show off, God won't answer you. God will say, I'm not in that kind of show off business. If you don't want to go, don't go. And don't lie about why you're not coming, no? Are you coming? No, why? I don't have a car to show off. Tell them like that. You will get a car quicker. Say, people, I'm not coming, no? Why? I will not have a car to show off. Sounds silly, right? Then God said, go and purge your heart. If you think it's a bad thing, then don't do it. However, let's sit on the issue of asking. He said, if your motives are pure, James said it with conviction. If you ask, you will what? You will receive. If you ask, you will receive. If there's any problem in your life, just get down on your knees and pray about it. If it's something you can't solve, pray about it. You know, and when you pray, God hears. Anytime we pray, what did I say?
God hears.
Yes. And then the last one, because this is not the main message for today. I just saw it. I was searching for something and it popped up. I said, wow, such a beautiful message. Let me share it with people before I go into the main thing for today. And last of all is what? Receiving. Now, is receiving an active process? Yes. How to receive from God is, in fact, we just finished a series on the radio, how to receive from God. But receiving is an active process. I mean, like, if God gives you fruit, all right? If he blesses you, he may say, you have to go to the farm and go and do what? Harvest. He said, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4. He that watches the wind will not sow. And he that observes the clouds will what? Will not reap. So in the time of reaping, there is something to do. So sometimes you need to pray and say, Lord, what do I need to do in this particular situation? Many times what God will tell you to do will not be reasonable according to what you want to receive. I give you an example the other time. Sometimes you're asking for work. God says, there's work. You ask, what type? You describe it to the Lord. You say, God, say, fine. Now get up in the morning, leave the house, and go and walk. Where? You just find out somebody, maybe your brother, your uncle, your friend, is just starting a business. All right? Sometimes it's a friend of yours. Starting something. You don't have anything you are doing. Go there. Do you get what I'm saying? Go and sit down there and, in quotes, gist with him or her. Now, gist is not to come and disturb. Don't go and disturb people who are working in the morning. Is that okay? I mean, go there and go and help. I remember once, my wife went for a function. And my wife's friend had taken the job of catering for that function. After I was just saying, excuse me, I'll be back. She had gone to stand beside the lady, borrowed these transparent gloves, and was serving, arranging small chops inside plates. He said she took a job. She didn't bring anybody to help. She's looking like this guy. Say, but this is a complaint. I didn't tell her later. But she got up there and started helping herself. Now, she was paid for the job. We just came to attend. And she discovered that, she's the one that took contract they call it? Yeah, of catering. Now, she was serving and she came alone. That's the kind of thing I'm saying. So she got up. Immediately she was there trying to help. There's something that she said to me later that, anyway, I didn't message the thing. Let's make a long story short. Do unto others as they do unto you. True of us? No. That's not what the Bible says. So. As we will like them to do, not as they are doing to you. He said, do unto them as you will wish them do to you. Not as they are doing. It's what you wish they would do. And that was the principle she used that particular day. I just give that as an illustration that you can actually go and help somebody when you're not working, not sitting there at home praying every day. That's one of the principles of receiving. Now, we're not teaching about that in detail. I just give an idea. There are many things. Sometimes God will just open your heart to see what you are to do as your own form of receiving. So that I give that illustration because sometimes you may say that there is no work. And God's actually saying there's no work. Let me tell you, work without pay. Now, let's look at three scenarios. Which one is best? Work with pay, work without pay, or no work at all? Now, let's see. Which is the best? There's no catch. Work with pay is good. I mean, you want to eat. I mean, you want to pay for transport. Now, the other two I want to talk about. No work at all or work without pay. Which one is better? No, most people, this is why in church we are saying it. Most people don't believe it. The best after of the two is work without pay. It's better than no work at all. Work without pay is better than no work at all. Now let's slot another one inside. What about work with little pay? It's still good. It's not the idea. Let me tell you the kind of work I also like. I mean, I'm also human like you. If I work for one day and they give me $5 million, it's not bad. If you don't believe I would like it, just try. Say, Pastor, after today's message, I will give you $5 million. If I cry, don't do it. We all like little work and plenty pay. We like it. There's not, see, we are human. Even me preaching to you like this, I like it. However, all right, if there is no pay, it's better to have work than not to have work at all. No matter how rich you become, it's better to have something you are doing if you don't want to go mad. Are you getting the principle? Yes. In fact, this man that became one of the richest men in the world, Mark Zuckerberg, when Facebook was still being built, there was a time they offered him then $1 billion. I can't remember the exact amount that he was offered, but a huge amount of money. All right? Now he's worth, should be hundreds of billions of dollars, right? Yeah. Then they made him a very rich young man. I remember that time, I think it was in his early 30s or late 20s. All right? He was very young. Now imagine being that young and you have $500 million as yours. That's a huge amount of money, right? You know why he didn't take it? I think it was Google also that offered him money. I can't remember for sure. But do you know why he didn't accept it? He said, what will I now be doing? The money they were offering was much. In fact, he did not know. Of course, there was no way of knowing. It wasn't the first social media network. They were, MySpace was there. There are others that came before him. They are all dead. They are worth next to nothing now if they still exist. So there was no way of him predicting that at now it will be like this. But he just said, what would I now be doing? So he retained it because he said, let me have work to do. The Lord is good. And that's a small, let's greet each other. All right. Now let's now get into our message for today. Like I said, I just saw that somewhere. I said, let me just, what are the four things?
Learning,
obedience, no, I didn't say obedience. No. Let's start again. Don't swallow our rhymes now. Everything is in at the end. But why I didn't want obedience is that it's a process. So obeying. So learning, obeying, asking, and receiving. Let me just say this quickly. If you're not willing to do the first two, don't bother with the third one. You hear what I said? What did I say? Yes. The third one is for those who are willing to do number one and number two. Is that right? Now let's continue with our teaching. All right, so let's get into the main thing for today's message. All right, Daniel chapter 9, the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith, Daniel chapter 9. Now what's the prayer of faith? Remember, we have been looking at faith, that every form of Christian prayer must be what? A prayer of faith. Every form of Christian prayer must be a prayer of faith. If it's going to be genuine, it must be a prayer of faith. It is not a particular type of prayer that's a prayer of faith. It's all genuine prayers. If you're interceding for somebody, it must be undergirded with genuine, that with serious faith. If you are making petitions for yourself, faith must be involved. No matter the kind of prayer, whether you call it prayer of agreement, or prayer of thanksgiving, worship, whatever. The Bible says, he that comes to God must believe. For you to be able to come, faith must be in your heart. So every prayer is a prayer of faith. The ones that are not of faith are things like prayer of show, the prayer of copy, the prayer of dare. You are trying to dare God, all right? Stuff like that. But every prayer that is genuine must be a prayer of faith. So what do we say is a prayer of faith? It's the one that is provoked, that is initiated by the word of God. Is that okay? that it's not because of just your desire. It's not like you're just convinced about something. Faith is not your personal conviction about anything. I just know if I ask, I will receive it. No. Faith is God speaks. That activates something in me. I'm propelled by the word of God. That's what faith is. Many people think faith is how I get things from God. That's not what faith is. Faith, yes, we get things from you from God. But what faith is that I'm building my life on what God said. That's what faith is. Faith is that the Lord speaks, I hear those words, and they propel the things that I do. If you go to that book of Hebrews chapter 11, everyone there that said by faith, it means there was a word from God, there was an instruction from heaven. An angel communicated, a word was revealed to somebody, and because of that word, the person took certain actions. That's what it means when they say, by faith they did this. I hope you're getting my point. It's not because they just had a desire. If you read through that Hebrews chapter 11, that hall of faith, like we call it, nobody there did something just because he wanted to. Everyone did something because the word of God came to the person first of all. You're getting my point. That's what faith is. So as believers, let me just say this quickly. As believers, learn to build your life on God's word. It's a simple thing. Constantly hear the word of God. It will shape your character. Do you get my point? The other day, I said, I saw one of my children was posted on the status, just trying to, was mocking anyway. One girl said, there's one part of this Bible I can never agree with. Don't be like that. You can see there's one part of this Bible I don't understand. Yeah, nobody understands everything. There are things I read till now. I just leave it that one day our eyes go open. I read Revelation. Do you understand a lot of Revelation? A lot of things in Revelation we don't even want to understand. How can I tell one third of the earth will die? I don't want to. The main problem is that I don't want to process it. So, there are things God wants to tell you. The way you react, say, leave it, leave it, leave it. There was a time the Lord Jesus came to tell Peter and call something. Peter, he turned it to rough. Master, what are you talking about? This can never, no! I said this can never happen to you. Jesus said, okay, forget now. Forget that I started it. Okay, I'm not going to say anything again. How can you be telling me that they will carry you? Where will we be? They will be flogging you. No, now. So, you know what Jesus said? Forget about it. He will now go and now say, there are things I want to tell you, but you can't bear them. In the same manner, when I read Revelation sometimes, when they say, just close it. Next chapter. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. Okay, where are they? You know, we are now wondering. People say, is it pre-tribulation, post-tribulation? One of the reasons why a lot of people believe the pre-tribulation rapture is better. It sounds nicer. You know, there are three schools of thought, the theological schools in tribulation and rapture. There's what they call the great tribulation and the rapture. He said, the rapture going to be after the great tribulation? Some say yes. Some say no. There's going to be before. Some say it's mid-trib. So there's pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. Yeah, you know, you can go and check it. Some of you don't do theology. You should go and do theology small. So there are three schools of thought. One of the reasons why I'm suspicious of the pre-trib, I don't know. See, there are things I don't know. There's one man I listen to his messages a lot, and he did a long series to say it is post-tribulation rapture. Did I agree with him? No. I can't agree. It's too painful. So, a time, because mark of the beast, I will not take. In Jesus' name, ain't taking the mark of the beast. I don't care what they want to do. I am not taking. Do you plan to take it?
No, sir.
Chief Eze, what about you?
No, sir.
Okay. So now you'll not be able to eat or sell anything or buy anything. Oh boy, I think pre-tribulation rapture is better. I mean, there's no need to buy. Jesus will love you, you know. I mean, why would a man? Now, where I'm going is that some things we don't understand is because we actually don't want to understand. It's very painful. If you go and understand, it will not happen. So let's just assume it's not going to happen. The Lord is good. So some of those things, what we just do? We just now, if I get to that point, I don't understand something. I just leave it. Later on, it will come clear. And there's something about spiritual things. As you are growing, you know, before when they say some people have made themselves eunuch for the kingdom's sake, I said it's not literal. I told myself it can't be literal. Jesus, what he meant, he was trying to explain. You know the way we Bible. By the time we finished paying the whole thing, Jesus said, "Look, even Jesus opened the Bible to us." That was that what that was, eh? He called Peter, come and see what Banky is doing. Sometimes, do you understand? But you know now, even though I don't wish to do them, but it's not, maybe I've come to understand some things about life. I've found things that are weightier. They are real to me now. So when you're saying that if your right eye causes you to stumble, remove it. It's not hard for me to understand that it is real. Man is like, if the eye is causing you, stop stumbling now. And if you won't stop stumbling, better remove the eye. Because the option is not easy. Like we talk about, we're talking about it just now. Will you take mark of the beast? For taking the mark, the repercussions. Let me tell you, I'm not going to hell.
Amen.
Look, if they say, Banky, deny Jesus Christ, I will throw your head first from up here. I said, better, in fact, before, if I just jump by myself, because, so that you stop threatening me. Because if we are dead, I'm talking for long now. I may soon change my mind. Uh-huh. Once you begin like that, I said, I'll just start climbing the rail. I say, wait now, we have not finished. Says, wait, it's not throwing me over from here. Because guys ain't going to hell. This air that is short. Do you know how many people I know that die regularly? In one day, my wife went for two funerals, two of parents of her children. I mean, like people in our institution. In one day, I mean, do you get my point? Service of songs occurring side by side in two different parts of town. See, no matter how these earth are not living forever here. So if you die at 50, or you die at 90, when you calculate it in the light of a million years, you die at the same time. Do you get my point?
Yes,
when you're thinking about 100 years, it looks like the man that died at 90, he lived longer than the one at 50. But when you're talking about 1 million years, when they're doing it, both of them died the same day. See, it's not the same day. See, it's the same day, no? It's 40 years apart. We are looking at 1 million. So, brethren, see, forget hell. Whether we are going to hell or going to a lake of fire. I'm not even willing to sacrifice 0.1% of my eternal inheritance for more pleasure on the earth. No. Because when you spread over time, it's too expensive. If God says, Banky, see, I will trek around. Occasionally, you get a bike to take you to here and there. All right? But as you are going to live your life, but you fulfill your destiny. Or I make it very comfortable. Private jets, expensive cars, here and there. You just remove just 1% of your destiny. You still go far, but 99. I say, now I forget, I'm trekking. I say, I'm trekking. Leave that thing. I say, Lord, let's not discuss it. I'm trekking. I cannot buy all of this world's goods for that 1%. No. Because see, after the first 2 million years, you realize it was a bad business. You realize it was bad business. So for me, where I'm going is that I've reached a point in life. And when I say I reach, I'm not trying to preach to you. There are prayers I've prayed. There are prayers. No, God has just given me a lot of understanding, many things. And one of the ways is just showing me the repercussions of disobedience. So when I see the people that my disobedience will affect, you know what Jesus said? For their sake, I sanctify myself. Where I'm going to, as you grow as a believer, things are making more sense. There are things Jesus said, right now you don't understand, don't worry. The time will come, you will understand. I said all of this trying to explain something. Constantly build your life on the word of God. If it doesn't look reasonable, your flesh can't accept, let me say your heart can't accept it because your flesh is still reigning strong in that area. Don't worry, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time. Vanity upon vanities. One man of God, he was about to die. I think he was ill. a man of God from Enugu here. They were both senior people in their, I mean, late, that one was about 70. This man was about that age, all right? That thereabout. So I heard this other one preaching sometime later. I knew that one when I was in Lagos, not personally, but I used to watch his program on TV and all of that. So he said he went to see the man died shortly after. So when he went to this man was a very, very rich man, you know, not rich preacher. He was a very rich fellow before he became a preacher. So he said he went to the man took him to his basement in one tush part of Lagos. So I think somewhere in Ikoyi or so, where he parked his cars, that's in his house. They went to the man's business. This rich man took this one from Enugu. And they just went around, you know. Went around. He said the man said he saw, you know, dream cars you dream about. The man had them parked there. The place was air conditioned. His car cannot just be suffering Lagos heat for nothing. Yeah. So the man looked at it. So to the other man, he said, you see all these things? They are nothing. Now that's the point. Say vanity. He was once in it. It was when I went to that other man. He did a program in Enugu here. I went there. That was when he was telling us the story. I knew that other one had died. So he said he went to visit him before he died. He told him, vanity. These things, they are nothing. They are empty. See, this word of God, is always true. Every disagreement is false. Anything that disagrees with it is the one that is false. The word of God is true. The thing that disagrees with it is the one that is false. No matter how much you feel about it. What I'm saying is that as you grow, did I tell you the story? I told you once the last time that a friend of mine was teacher there today. He took his family on a holiday to Europe from America. He said, he felt that he had done well. God has blessed him. He's a good man, all right? He felt like God had blessed him. So imagine, he bought ticket for four, flew to Europe on a holiday. There's nothing he's doing all the way from the United States. He said, then British Airways now did something. They left one person to check in all the, according to him, the Talakawas. The third, that is economy class people. Now listen, you know, this is a man taking wife and two children on a holiday, feeling good himself. Then he now saw his mates going with their families and strolling into first class and business class. And British Airways left two people to attend to those ones. So they didn't have to stay on the queue. Sharp, you know, everything. But he said he waited like 45 minutes to an hour on a queue with his beloved wife and his children. So he was angry that this is not my mate flying first class. Are you sure I say? He said, there's something back here. So a thought came to me. He said, this one's there, also there now, angry that they have to pass through security screening. That after all, their mates are flying private. So then he realized that vanity upon vanities. He sent this to me from the plane. He had not taken off when he sent me this thing. He said, Banky, I just realized that vanity of vanities, all is vanity. That there's nowhere you will get to and you'll be happy. Here he was blowing money, taking the whole family to Europe just to go and chop life for 2 weeks. Yeah, he's angry that somebody kept him standing for 45 minutes. Some people are saying, oh, God, 2 hours, self. If I was sleep on that queue, it doesn't matter. Bring the ticket. We will sleep there. If I was sweep the whole airport. You know, there are those, you know, a lot of people still say, no, when we reach there first, because they see, you don't understand. Life is really vanity. That is the satisfaction those people will get from flying first class, private to Europe. I can give it to you in your house. You want to come out from there. I hope you're getting my point. Where I'm going is, I say, as you grow in life, you will find that the word of God is correct. You are the one that's wrong. Please make sure you're always building yourself on the word of God, always. All right? Even if you don't think there's anything wrong with the part of your life, you see scripture there, all right? Step up. Step up, step up. See, step up is necessary to avoid the troubles of Job. See, Job didn't do anything evil, but God just needed him to step up. Trouble is always the last result that God uses. The primary thing he uses is instruction. The Holy Spirit will nudge you. You read the scripture. Sometimes it can be the way you spend your money. It can be the way you talk to people. It can be the way you talk to your wife, the way you talk to your husband. These are areas that many people need to learn. Many people need to learn. I hope you're getting my point. You don't have to enter into trouble yet. As you are studying, things will come up. If you notice it, I said, you know, one day, this really happened to me. I read in my Bible that the Bible commands, many of us don't know some things scriptures command about. That as a husband, you should be exhilarated. You know what it means to be exhilarated? Excited. With love for your wife, always. Do you know normally it doesn't last beyond the first, maybe how many weeks? I'm talking about excitement. Too busy. You're trying to remember. Or you don't want to admit it. And it varies from person to person. Those who are dark with white beards, you know, it's different from those who are fair, who claim they are black people. Or they have black beards anyway. That's what makes them black. The length varies. All right? Sometimes, you know, that's why we're saying this love is still shocking you because we expect it to what? Yeah, it will wear off. It should wear off. It should wear off, naturally speaking. But Solomon said, if it wears off, you have sinned. He didn't say it like that, but it's an instruction. Be exhilarated with her love at all times. So when your wife starts feeling normal, you are going to confess your sin. It's a sin. It's a sin. You think until you slap somebody, that is when trouble. No, just normal. Your wife can travel for 2 weeks and you don't miss her at all. I say, honey, I've been very busy. God said, this boy, yeah, sack him. He has to go home so to be missing his wife. Let me tell you, if every time you have a opportunity to travel and leave home, you are happy, there's a problem. Let me explain. You have not done anything bad, but there is a problem. Just know, this is what God is. He's not saying you've done anything terrible. Just know there is a problem. And you know how you solve problems? You go to prayer and say, dear Father, good morning. What I do want to pray, maybe in the evening. You can't say good night now if you cannot pray that night. Say, Father, I've come, there's an issue here. I know that anytime they say in the office, who will go for this project? Once it's taking me out of town for 2 weeks, I'm happy. And I'm happy because I'm leaving home. Now, some women, as I'm saying this, they say, hey, tell them. No, you are the one driving him. So, I'm not saying, so before he starts feeling over righteous. Some people, you know why they leave home? They want peace of mind. Some people are coming home, and when they get to the gate, they breathe a few times, brace themselves very well. Love is kind, love is patient. Then finally they ring the bell. Now, so it can be anybody's fault. It can be impatience on the man's part. So I'm trying, so because as I was saying, some people are, you know, husband and wife, they are watching us together. So the woman done the cut eyes to the guy. And as such that, you know what men finally usually do. You are watching the program together. And as I'm preaching, the woman is looking at you. What some men will just get to go to the kitchen to go and look for water. Then the phone will ring. Then they walk out to the back. I'm going to look for something from the car. All of these, that they are not coming back to the message. So no matter how you are feeling, don't just keep looking straight. Just be looking straight. Don't look at the man's side. Some men have heard this from the kitchen and they've come back to sit down and say, Mama, did you hear that? But the point I'm making is that just know what? There is a problem. And once you say to the Lord, there is a problem, he will fix it. Once you acknowledge, it can be the man's problem. It can be the woman that's the problem. And most times, you know where the problem is? Who can tell me? Both sides. Usually, both sides. The proportion, we can see, discuss that. Some is 10-90. Some is, but a lot of time is like 51-49. But the thing is that you go to God and say, Lord, there is a problem. One day, I was thinking, I was just driving, and that thing came through my mind. So my wife had become a normal, like one of the, in fact, I think the children were more exciting, self. Because children used to do all kinds of mischievous things. Even if they are not exciting you with their good, they will excite you with their bad. Like the one of my children, I just bought motor, and those days, I bought a car new. One of my children just came, took a stone, and decided that daddy is a good daddy. You should write it. I didn't call his name, and guilty conscience is still disturbing him after how many years. He's looking left and right. I know the day he did it. Should I tell you? On my 10th wedding anniversary, I just finished dressing up. My wife and I were supposed to go out. I came out. I saw everybody lamenting. I said, why is everybody looking sad? I said, I saw my car. But boy, I'd taken a stone and written, you know, of course, he couldn't write. It was a very little child, could not write. How old was this guy at that time? How old was he? I was 2 years old. Yeah, two. Yeah, if I was 2 years and 1 month, took the stone and just pam, 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 pam. I looked at the car, looked at myself. I gave the Lord thanks. That is a good story. I'll tell it for a long time. So I'm still telling it. That was 10th anniversary. My last anniversary was 26th. So 16 and a half years later, I'm still telling the story. And when this young boy, on his wedding day, I will tell the story. I shall terrorize him. Look, I don't plan to forget the story. Internet remembers forever. Thank you. The Lord is good. Now, so children will always excite you. I'm just saying that in passing. They will find a way to get your life excited. So I just thought about it. And I remember where I was that day. And I quoted the scripture for the Lord. And I said to the Lord, no, you said, be excited with your wife's love at all times. So I prayed about it. And I asked him to give me that spirit of excitement. And you know what? He did. Yeah, he did. He did. One day I was preaching on television. I was preaching in Kingdom World, actually. I just said it. But it was put on TV. Then we used to broadcast on NTA Enugu. I got to work. One woman said to me, Doc, I saw you on TV on Saturday. I was like, what happened? He said, you say you love your wife more now than you did when you first married her. She said, I've never heard that before. You've never heard that before? Actually, when I said it, I wasn't saying it out of, I just said it normally. Just, it was just like we are preaching, just said something normally. It was when she called my attention to it at work that I knew it was something that was striking. She said, she was telling people, no, I was just walking, just came down from my car when she stopped me. See, I saw you preaching on television. This was what you said. And she was telling people around, look at what he said. Is that possible? Her mouth was open that I have never heard that before. Let me just say this to you. You know, when we're recording, was it yesterday, Judah? When we're discussing marriage problems, there is no technique for everlasting love and preventing marriage problems. There's none. There's none. What did I say?
There's none.
The only way is prayer. You will pray to God. If woman smoke, he go for you. Men smoke normally. Are you getting my point? But when a woman now smokes it, when you see trouble, you know there's no way you could. It's not you. You didn't do anything. Why are you the one telling me that they did the... You're the one telling me later, yes. So is it 75% of those who go for marriage counseling with professionals end up in divorce? 75%. The Lord is good. How did I get into that? We are in the scriptures. That's why I talk about that. I saw Solomon saying that be exhilarated with your wife's love at all times. It's not a natural thing. It's a commandment. One day, man, he married two wives, Muslim. So they were you know, this just doing television programs. This was in Lagos. So we were watching it on TV. So in a talk show, they had an audience. The panel was on the platform, and the host was interviewing them. So he had two wives. So they asked him, all right, why did he decide to marry two wives? Is the explanation he gave that, to me, you didn't even realize this is bad. Some people just treat women as if they are not human like themselves. and it is accepted. They are not ashamed of it. They say it is accepted when they sit down and talk. He said actually what happened to him was that when he first got married to his first wife, he enjoyed his wife so much, he wanted to relive that experience. Yeah, I'm telling you what he said. I heard it with my 2 ears. I don't know whether my wife will remember. Those is when we first got married in Lagos. So what did he do? He went to marry another wife. So he can have excitement, which you and I also know will last a short while. Then after a while, he will be marrying every few years so that he can enjoy that excitement. It's now is a drug. He's now addicted to a drug of marriage, which is new marriage all the time. Now, what he said, there's half truth. Let me not use the word half truth. There's some truth to it. All right? Some such experience you want to, it's good tonight to go through them again. Is that okay? I think it's good. You don't think it's good? You're the only one that thinks it's not good. She thinks it's good. Who else thinks it's good? Too busy. Say, let me hear now. It's good. Yes, it's good. It's very good. And it's very right with that. It's where you get it from that's not the issue. That's what the problem is. Okay, I'll give an example there. You know, the time part of my life I used to enjoy most. It has changed slightly now because these children, they've stopped being children. I don't know why children grow. They should just try and remain small for a long time. There's this thing about when they are small. So then, my mother-in-law was still alive of blessed memory. When it's December period, we pack all the children, every single one, even the one not yet born, we pack them and go and drop them with their grandmother. This will be the most exciting 2.5 weeks of our lives. A young groom and his bride. There were 4 children. But it was like, was young bride and groom. Yeah! Things used to be sweet. But these children said, even though you are big now, you just go somewhere yourself. You know, you just by yourself, just go. I'll give you the money. Don't worry. Just go away. The Lord is good. No, so what the man wanted to experience, all right? That's what I'm saying. It wasn't bad. It's where he wants to get it from. That's the thing. No, God help me. There was a time I gathered my friends. You won't believe it. I gathered my friends. Went to my father-in-law. As if we came to marry wife. I'm not kidding. I arranged, called all of them. They came. My father-in-law was surprised to see them. We also in the sitting room sent for him and my mother-in-law. And they came. And one of them stood up and made a speech. This time around was not, I think it was our 10th anniversary. I think it was around that time, something like that. But my mother said, Bank, you can dream all kinds of things. The whole ceremony, when I first came to look for a wife, this time around, we came to do it again. Drop, what they call it, you know, you put cola, wedge it, all those kind of things. Somebody made this speech. It was just fun. Our 10th anniversary here, I wore a white suit. My children were all dressed like Paige, I have one daughter, she was a flower girl. Everybody went to church. We removed the rings. Yeah, seriously, I still have the pictures and put the rings back. So you do that once in a while. Do it. It's scriptural, is it not? But if you go and marry another wife, thunder fire you. As a Christian, if you try that one and tell me the nonsense that you enjoyed the first wife so much, we personally, not of light on that. It's a knife. Is that the thing I want to do? Chibi, you know what they do with that knife? The Lord is good. Ask him after. You'll become something for the kingdom's sake. If you don't get it, forget about it. What I'm saying is that what is faith? It's being deliberate about building your life on the word of God. That's it. Now, let me say, it's not only about responsibilities, though. It's also about blessings. I hope you're getting my point. Like one of the ones I say all the time, say, mark the righteous man. That's in Psalm 92. He said, he's sealed with mighty. He said, let me read that one quickly. Psalm 92, talking about age. I keep saying that all the time. Psalm 92, about the righteous. I know what he's saying, but I just want us to read it together. That they will be green. Let's just read it. In verse 12, it said, the righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon.
planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. Talk about flourish. All right? He said, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green. To declare that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Like I said, it's not only about responsibility, it's also about blessings of enjoyment. If you reach a particular age, they say, oh, you should slow down because you are getting old. Refuse. Now, I'm not saying you use force to go and enjoy yourself. Are you getting my point? You go and carry weight that young people are supposed to carry. Then you're not getting injured. That's not what I'm saying. You will go back and do what? And pray. And say, Lord, what's going on? I'm only 50. I'm only 60. And 60 is only. And I can't carry this again. I can't carry that. I climb the stairs. I'm getting tired. Why? You come and read these scriptures. And you will pray with these scriptures. That's what I'm saying. You will pray with these scriptures. No, Lord, no, this is not right. Like I said, these things, let's expand which word am I looking for? Expectation, yes. Expand it. Stop giving excuses. Stop giving Satan excuses. Like I said, never use age as an excuse. People say, you forget because of age. I said, look, I forget. I'm not saying I don't forget. But no worries why I forget. Too many things. Has this ever happened to you before? You are walking. You pick your phone to do something. As you're picking it, you see a notification. Then you read notification. Hey, and quickly reply it. That notification requires you to get up to go and do something. Before you reply, before you finish, you ask yourself, why did I pick the phone in the first place? You can't remember again. It's not age. It's you have to learn to control yourself. I've learned it now. If I pick my phone to do something, I tell myself, do it, do it. I see notification. No, I won't look at you. Let me do what I want to do first. I still remember one of these small children. I won't mention their names. See, two of them are looking at each other at the back there. They know themselves. When you do the wicked fleas, when that is not mentioning their name, are you getting sometimes they do something. Yes, then you come back. Where's that thing I said you should do? Ooh. There's some particular guy amongst them saying, ooh. As if I'm the one that forgot and they say it's age. This one that's not married, is not paying school fees, is not doing anything. All he does is play basketball, do just stuff like that. And he's telling me, ooh. So somebody says that, yeah, I said, no, you refuse. And let me tell you something. Your expectation will not be disappointed.
Amen.
God will keep your mind strong.
Amen.
I keep on giving the testimony of Kennedy Hagin. As an almost 90-year-old man, he was in his late 80s, when he'll be telling stories. And tell you, this one happened. There's a man I go to visit once in a while. He's a bit frail, all right? But that's another story. It's his mind, when we are talking, and he's 90-something. He'll be telling me a story of what happened to her, what used to happen in your neck those days, when they first, he'll be telling, you know, we're just gisting, if I allow him to talk, and he'll be telling you things that happen. You don't have to forget, and it's not amyloid. Oh, well, those ones, I know what I'm talking about. It's been found out that it's not amyloid. Dementia is a spiritual, I'm telling you. Reject it early in your life. One day I sat down with one of my colleagues. We met at the airport, a lady. What's going on? We're both coming to Enugu, so we're waiting for the same flight. So we just sat down together. We're not gisting. Her phone now rang. She answered the phone, the call. It was her father. The father wanted to congratulate her on a particular achievement. She had made the major international one, a major recognition. I wanted to congratulate her. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Daddy. And the man hung up. And he turned to me. He said, that's the fourth time he's congratulating me on that thing. Fourth or fifth time, that he will forget. Then when he finds out, ask after her, he just remember, he will call her again. He said, that's the fourth. That's not the gist. That's not the gist. That can happen, all right? That can happen. We kept on talking. So I told her that, okay, she wanted me to do something. She said I should do something. We're not talking about, please remind me of this. I should remind her. Please, I should remind her. I said, well, she can see now that there's dementia in her family. I don't know whether you get the point. That's why I tell the story. Your father is old. The man was not young. And then the man probably be close to 90. And you, this was some years ago, she probably be in her late 40s, early 50s. And you're telling me that, she, as you see, there's dementia in your family, so I should remind you because you are going to forget.
Anyway, she's not a believer like us. There are statements I will never, do you know, out of fear of God. Two reasons why I won't do it. One, fear of God. Secondly, I don't want to give Satan something to hold. Why are you giving Satan? As I heard you say in my hearing, the most powerful testimony against yourself is your own mouth. You will say, thus far and no further. Should that be a prayer point? Yes, it's been planted in your mind. You have to eradicate it. You go and lie down and you go and kneel down and say, dear Lord, first, let me pray for my father. Let his dementia be cured. It's a valid prayer. Then when you're done with praying for that, say, Lord, my own. You quote this scripture. Say, dear father, for record's sake, he said, this I will let the, how do you say it again? Ezekiel 36. This also, I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. Say, Lord, so let me ask you to do this for me. Let me never have any symptom in my life of dementia. Let me never become forgetful. Let me never have dementia. No matter how old I am, Lord, let this mind be strong as it is written. Even when they are old, they'll be full of sap. It's not just about responsibilities. It's about blessings also. If you hear that the path of the just like the light of dawn, it shines brighter and brighter unto a perfect day. See, let me just tell you something. You will become richer and richer. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Before I even explain it, just know, you will become richer and richer.
Amen.
Even when you are retired, I don't know what that means, but whatever it means, you will still be richer than you when you were working.
Amen.
How will it happen? Is it your business? He said, behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. See, I quote that scripture a lot. If I get 500 naira, I quote it. Yes. Okay, I don't need to tell you I quote if it's a million naira. I don't need to tell you if I quote if it's more than that. But even if it's 500, I quote it. Because it will never stop in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The first day I read that scripture, I was not looking for keys on prosperity. I was just studying my Bible normally. We found the scripture, then we put a demand on it. See, the life of faith is a life that's generated, even every expectation is generated by the word of God. I hope you're getting my point.
Yes,
that's the life of faith. I know we're going somewhere. I said she opened somewhere, did I? We have not read it. So we're talking about the prayer of faith, therefore. I just dropped something there about the life of faith. Let's just look at the prayer of faith. So a prayer of faith is that in which even the prayer points, the confidence to pray, are generated by the word of God. I hope you're getting my point. See, there are things in this your life you will not even do, even though they are legitimate. Because you read the word of God and said no. They're like, what's the name of this guy? The one that came to rebuild the temple. I think it was Nehemiah. I thought Nehemiah of Ezra, but two of them. The one that said, when they were carrying a lot of money, I think it was Nehemiah. And the king said that, okay, let me give you escorts. Nehemiah said, but I told this man that our God is alive and he will take care of those that please him. And that what we are doing is pleasing to God. So the king, don't bother. You don't understand. The king wants to give you escorts. He looked at the king and said, sir, don't bother. That's faith. A word had gone forth. He said, no, let's go and pray. Abraham, the same thing. Legitimate, he could take the goods he collected in battle. He could. But he said, no, God promised me some things. This man will taint the testimony. He will say, Abraham is rich because of my goods. So let him have it. That's the life of faith. The faith you have that doesn't put constraints on you is fake. If your faith doesn't put constraints on you, it is fake. Real faith put constraints on you. Now, we began something last time, which is what I want to go into today, but let's see how it goes. Daniel chapter 9. When it comes to, you know, we're talking about the prayer of faith. When it comes to even praying, prayer points are generated by faith. Now, we know what faith is. Prayer points are generated by faith. So that's why I want to read that book of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel was not looking for deliverance at that time. but he was a student of the word. He used to read the prophets. Those guys were blessed, those Israelites, because God gave them that writing culture. It's for our sake anyway. These things were recorded for our learning. What happened to Africans? Did we write anything? Let's not even go there. For a very long time, they've been writing. And all the prophets knew. You know, before you used to wonder, that these prophets, and I think all the prophets knew that when you want, every prophet had a, well, I believe, had, they had secretaries. They had scribes in the school of prophets. You saw prophets, there were sons of prophets that their jobs were to write. Different ones of them. They sat down and they wrote. Jeremiah had a secretary called Seraiah. He's talking, and of course, because of their culture, there were no recorders. They learned early to capture things with hearing. Jeremiah will say, this is what the Lord is saying. Seraiah has brought out his scrolls, and he starts writing. And those things were with Daniel. And then one day he was reading the prophets. Let's go there. Daniel chapter 9. He said, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as a word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem. That is 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed and said, alas, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and loving kindness for those who love him and keep his commandments. Now we continue with confession of sin. In verse 5, we have sinned, committed iniquity, acted wickedly, and rebelled, even turning aside from your commandments and ordinances. Moreover, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and all the people of the land. He said, righteousness belongs to you, O Lord, but to us open shame as it is this day, to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel. And they kept on speaking like this. He said, open shame belongs to us. We rebelled against the Lord's teachings. We did not obey the voice of the Lord. I'm jumping now. I'm just looking for where to continue again. He said, therefore the Lord confirmed, in verse 12, therefore the Lord confirmed his words which he has spoken against us and against our rulers who ruled us to bring on us great calamity. Not the devil. Who brought the calamity? Answer me now. Who brought the calamity? He said, God confirmed his word and he brought great calamity on us. Then he continued to speak. Verse 15, he said, and now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, he said, O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us. So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications. And for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary. These are the requests I was trying to get there. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and take action. For your own sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people are called by your name. It's a beautiful prayer, isn't it? Full of the praise of God, full of acknowledging of their sins. They didn't speak anything about the devil or the enemy. It was about them and their God. But what I want to bring out from here is that this was not ignited by desire. It was ignited by what? A prophetic word. He said, I read in my Bible, of course, the scrolls of Jeremiah, that God said, in 70 years,
He will have finished with the desolations of Jerusalem. 70 years now. That means, see, the will of God is given to us as a prayer point. What did I say? Yes. Many times, you know, we form prayer points on things that are not the will of God. No, Jesus told us something. He said there are things that Gentiles seek. Do you know we camp around those things as Christians also? And we don't think there's a problem with it. He said there are things that should be added to us. If they come as a burden on your heart, the prayer is to dismiss the burden. Are you getting my point? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? Yeah, you can go into prayer and say, Lord, you said this will be added to me. Teach me the kingdom to seek. Let my heart not be on this. I commit all these burdens into your hands. Paul said that, what do you do? He said, don't worry about anything. Let your request be known unto God. What did he now say? The peace of God will guard your heart. He didn't say, God will just give you the thing. Because what happens is that the most important thing as far as God is concerned is that peace that comes. Because the time of addition is coming. The time of addition of those things is coming. One of the things that delays those things is the confusion, the fear, the worry that pollutes our hearts. So Paul said, how do you get rid of that? Pray about it and leave that matter to God. But those things must never be the focus of your prayers. He said they are supposed to be added to you. I hope you're getting my point. Now, he said, what do you do therefore? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, let me quickly remind us of something. Because what I wanted to teach you about, yeah, well, we still have enough time for me to complete it. All right? I introduced it last time about having what? Higher prayer points. It's something we must do deliberately as believers to have prayer points that are serious and they are higher things. We do that deliberately. Many of us, now let me say this quickly. Many of us don't take those things seriously because we don't really think they are our personal problems. Let me give an example. Now, this is not to indict any, of course, you're not putting up your hand. Think about it. How many people actually kneel down on their own and pray about the I'm not talking about church. And pray about the insurgency in northern Nigeria. And the fact that the gospel can't move, that people are running away, that you sit down, pastor didn't call prayer points, on your own. You just kneel down and say, God, what is going on in this country? We said that every inch of this, and becomes a personal burden for you. And you pray about it every day. Do you know many people don't pray about government or things of the church of God unless they come to church? Personal prayer? No. The personal prayer is filled with what we shall eat, what we shall drink, what we shall be promoted with, what we shall drive, what we shall complete our own house. Every day, that's it. But you see where I'm going. We're talking about prayer of faith. The Lord Jesus actually gave us some prayer points. Now, he said something to us in that Lord's Prayer. No, let me talk the other one I want to talk about. He said that, you see the I won't talk about prayer with reward. We'll talk about that once in a while. He said that when you pray, go into your closet. That you see people, they make a show of praying. They pray in open squares that they may be seen by men. All right? He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, what? They have their reward. Now, please, let me remind us of this. There's a difference between reward and answer. There is. Now, do you think a Pharisee got up, came to the open square to pray about his intestinal problems? No, think about it. He's having intestinal problems. Anytime he goes to the toilet, he will have blood inside his stool. Do you think he came to the open square and said, Lord, this is my blood, this stool has lasted too long. Oh God, I heal the sick. Answer. Lord, my wives are quarreling. Solve the problems in my home. Do you think he did that? I give another one. Lord, you know how many people I'm owing. Give me money so I can pay them back. Do you think that he prayed loudly like that in synagogues? In marketplaces? What do you think he was praying about? It must be something that impressed everybody. It is. I can tell you what it is. They were praying for the restoration of Jerusalem. They were praying for the redemption of Israel. And Jesus said it's a valid prayer point, but it's not to be done as a show. If it really concerns you, you will pray like Simeon. I hope you're getting my point.
Do you know, most people, I believe, now this is my own conjecture, but I think it's correct. Most people did not know what Simeon was praying about. They probably thought he was praying about the Romans. They didn't know his prayer had to do with the Savior that's about to be born. Hannah was praying. But we know for sure that those people, and people like them, there were many, but two of them were given to us as examples. They made the birth of, even though they didn't fully understand, the coming of Jesus needed their intercessory prayer. And they kept on praying until Jesus was born. Now, Simeon, God told him that, see, let me do something for you. And God does that a lot. When God wants to make you happy, you know what he gives you? No, who can tell me? A vision of things to come. What you call the book of Daniel? A huge chunk of it was consolation for the person Daniel. When Daniel finished praying like this, God came and gave him visions. And that consoled him, and he died in peace. You want to know about Abraham? I don't have the time to talk about Abraham. What God gave Abraham that made Abraham happy. Now, Lord, I just want to say this. I think it will work. Abraham got a picture, even if for only half a second, of us meeting here. An angel went far ahead, did a screen grab. You know they call it a screen grab? And showed it to Abraham. See that guy? His name is Banky. He's going to talk a lot about you. See him talking there? So those who are listening to him, they are all children of Abraham. Abraham said, eh? Black people too? He said, yes, so. Yeah. I believe, all right? He saw some of, no, they used to go to war. He saw weapons of war with which God will quench his enemies that will come thousands of years later. He said, see what they will invent because of your sacrifice. Abraham said, eh? He saw all kinds of things, visions. See, he gave the visions to Abraham, gave to Isaac, gave to Jacob. See, you can't be living in the wilderness and sheep will be your joy. I don't know whether I get my point. Living in tents? No. Abraham left something. The Bible said they were looking for a city. Remember that? No, they had the visions of that city. Whose architect and builder is God? I hope you're getting my point. It was in the midst of that, that's where I'm going, that God went to Simeon. An angel came and said, the Lord said, I should tell you something. What? You will not die until your eyes see the salvation of God. Now, from the time the angel told him this, till Jesus was born, I don't know how long ago. Who can guess? I don't know. You know what I think? I think it was at least maybe 70 years. Seriously. I suspect Simeon was like, now, please, what I want to say, don't quote it. It's not in the Bible. It's just me thinking. I suspect Simeon was at least 200 years old when Jesus was born. That's just my thought. I may be wrong. I hope I get my point. Yeah, because he was tired. Yeah. It may not have been that long, but I'm just thinking. I may be, it may be longer because, go and read the book, Maharishi of Mount Kailash. He said one man met a man that's 400 years old and that is still alive. Strange things do happen in this world. I don't know how old Simeon was. But the point I'm making is that the man was so old when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. What was the first thing he said? He said, see, your servant can now depart in peace. Because my best friend, Jeremiah, died like 16 years ago. No, it's not 16 years. 62 years ago. All my brothers, the guy counted. Now I'm having to eat with my great-grandchildren. When he saw Jesus Christ, he said, now thy servant can depart in peace. But what I'm talking about is what kept him alive. What did God preserve him for? To pray a higher prayer. I believe that part of our problems as believers is that we don't go to the scriptures to discover the higher prayers that God has given us. You know, Jesus gave us some of them. I'll give an example. He said, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Now, he gave us a prayer point. He gave us a prayer point. He said, entreat the Lord of the harvest to push out laborers into his harvest field. We read it as a scripture. We don't read it as a commandment. That's not where I get my point. Yeah, we're in our Bible. We read it. But do we read it as a commandment that God said, when you want to pray, you are in a church, you are in a denomination, you want to open branches. These days, shall I go here? Yeah, a lot of problems we have in churches is manpower. Pastors are opening branches that they don't have pastors for. They said this year we are going to open 10 branches. You think you find 10 pastors, Elder John? How hard is it to find one pastor? I didn't hear you. You said very difficult. And your church wants to open 10 branches. What am I saying? A higher prayer point. They didn't call you. You're not a member of the church committee, but you believe in their vision. You understand? Jesus gave it to you as a prayer point. When you wake up in the morning, it's not a hard thing. Lord, send laborers. Let me explain something. If God will do it automatically, why did Jesus give us as a prayer point? I hope you're getting my point. If it will be done automatically, why will it be a prayer point? A lot of us have neglected things that the Lord said we should pray about. He said, entreat the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest field. Now, one of the reasons why we can't pray that prayer, you know the reason? Do you know why? Do you know one major reason? Afraid of what? Okay. Well, she said it the way I didn't want to say it, but it's correct. She said, we are afraid. He might send us. Now, that's not the way I wanted to say it, but it's a very good way. What I was going to say is that before you pray that prayer, you should know you're a potential candidate. But she said it the other way, that, oh, God, we know. It is fear, because you see, until you are ready to be one of the ones he will send, you can't sincerely utter that prayer. You can't. Unless, of course, you are already fully committed to the harvest field yourself, and you're already doing the work that has to be done. I hope you're getting my point. There was a time God said, see problem, oh. Who shall I send? Which will go for us? So Isaiah looked like, you know, I can imagine that the man was a bit embarrassed. You're asking that question. And God said, yes, I need somebody to volunteer. Isaiah said, no problem. Here I am. Send me. Those prayers cannot be prayed by people who are not willing to be sent. And that is one major reason a lot of us leave the matter alone. We may not think about it. But how can you be saying, Lord, send laborers into his harvest field when you are not ready to go into the harvest field? Now, not everybody is going to be a preacher and pastor in the church, you understand? But there's a disposition of heart that you will have, willing, if God will say, let me be the one to go, that I will go, that God will take your prayer seriously. What I want to say, I believe it's inspired, is mathematics. The more we forget to pray these prayers, the more we pray prayers about our own personal needs. Did you catch what I said? That is, when churches gather and the advancement of the kingdom of God is not primary in our minds, we will be so occupied with what we shall eat, what we shall drink, and with what we will clothe ourselves. For two reasons. Number one, something has to fill that empty space. But most importantly, number two, we continually have lack. Do you follow my point? Yeah, we always have lack, so we always have something to pray about. However, if we had filled our hearts with a higher prayer point, something like, Lord, send laborers into your harvest, and here I am, send me. If that's my calling, I'm willing to go. Using that pastoring thing as an example, it's not everybody that's going to be a pastor. In fact, I don't believe more than 10% of the church will be in what you call preaching ministry. I don't believe. That just is a rough estimate. Well, it's based upon the number of Levites in Israel. One tribe out of 12. So I use that to estimate. I don't think we'll be more than 1 in 12. On the average, that's an estimate. Don't quote it. There are things I tell you can quote. This one, you can't quote it. Or if you want to quote it, say, Pastor Banger was thinking that maybe, I'm also thinking like that. That's the best way to quote it. Don't say the Bible says only 1 out of 12. Eh? You have added to his words, though. Do you get my point? It's not me. So where I'm going is that not all of us will do that. But do you know, if the heart is really there, one way or the other, God will show you the part you are supposed to play. And he will make it unnecessary for you to pray many of the prayers that occupy most people in church today. Are you getting my point? See, there are things that should bother you. Let me give an example. On this earth, as far as I'm concerned, the most important thing God is doing is building his church. Jesus said, I will build my church. He said that as his statement, I will build my church. So you know the will of God. He wants to build his church. Now, his church is not made of brick and mortar. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
What did I say?
Church is not made of brick and mortar.
So when I say I will build my church, I don't mean I will build my church building. That's not what I'm saying. Now, I'm not saying churches shouldn't have buildings. I'm just saying that's not what Jesus was saying. When he said, I will build my church, he was talking about what? The Bible says, we are being built as what? Living or lively stones, using King James expression. So we are the body, we are the temple that he's building. The body of Christ is what he's building. All right? Good. So he said, I will build my church. So we know that that is his will. That's one. Number two, he said, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the ends of the earth as a witness to the nations, then the end shall come. So we know. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we know. So these are two critical things. So some ministers will tell you that what is their job? Like someone like Derek Prince. His ministry is reaching the unreached, teaching the untaught. That is the summary of it. Reaching the unreached and teaching the untaught. Let me take one instance there. The untaught. A lot of Christians are untaught. Ignorance is plenty. One of the prayer points we pray in my household, you hear Jonathan lead us in prayer here. Reverend Yinka that's leading prayer, Elder John, whoever, you hear it keeps on coming up that God should raise platforms where truth is spoken. And we deliberately fire arrows against the ones that are telling lies. Yeah, I do. I personally do. Now, I don't want anybody to die. I don't fire arrow at them. That's who they are sitting on. Father, may it collapse. Oh, I pray that prayer. There are people I'm driving. They are false prophets. When I drive past their posters, I give a word to the Lord about it. I say, this kind of person, Lord, doesn't belong in my city. Drive him into the bush. Let all those who want to follow him, let them walk like. What's the other guy that used to play flute? To catch a rat? That piper, what's his name? The one that was catching rats and then not catch children. The Pied Piper. Yes. So let the people that want to follow him into the bush. I pray. No, really, I pray against such people. I pray that God will open the eyes of the understanding of his people. Sometimes, you pick up prayer points. You read in the news. How pastors, a lot of Christians are suffering in places where they are persecuted. You pray for them that their faith will not fail. They don't have to know you. Do you know, you actually pray that God will supply their needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Let them wake up in the morning and find miraculous food. Because you don't want them discouraged. And when you pray like that, you know what it means? If the opportunity comes and you get to know any one of them, oh boy, send money. Just like she said. You know why we don't pray those prayers? They open the door of responsibility. They bring us into the center. When you start praying, God says, wait. How much did they pay you last time? Say, Lord, now, $650,000. Lord, say, how much do you need to eat now? I'll bring you more money next month. Don't worry. Take your food money. You remove $60,000. Say, can I have the rest? Then he'll play your prayer for you for the last 2 weeks. And then your friend will now say, we have missionary, we are sponsoring, you know, send something. God say, $650 minus $60. How much is that? $590. Say, complete. Transfer it now. Otherwise, I cancel all your prayer. You know, some people say, God, I cancel that for now. I have for that. We'll start again. No, but that's not how it's supposed to be. You take the money. What do? You send it. Just like he said, one of the reasons why we don't pray those prayers is what? We are afraid. And I'm telling you, this is the kind of thing that starts happening. When Jesus told us that the Pharisees, they pray in open spaces, their prayer was, they were prayers for things like, it had to do with the redemption of Jerusalem. It had to do with the restoration of the nation of Israel. It's a valid prayer point. For us, it is about two things. One, the building up of the body and whatever ramifications. See, on this earth, intercessors are needed all the time. There are those who give money to Kingdom Word Ministries. All right? Talking about those who work with me in Kingdom Word. Most of those who give to kingdom word, I don't know. I don't know them. If you are listening to me, in fact, I said I was doing one of these days. I want to say, God will bless you. God knows you. I don't know you, but I do pray for you. All right? God will bless you. If you give this ministry 10 naira, may God multiply it in abundance back to you as 1,000 and more. Yes, I pray that prayer sincerely. But there are those that it's not just money they give. They pray for me as a person. Now, this is knocking on wood now. Say, Pastor Banking, don't let him jam. And you know what? I appreciate the prayers. There are those who say, ah, come on. There are certain kids we are pressed. We are safe. I'm not safe. Please, pray for us. I'm quoting Paul. If Paul said, pray for us, who am I to say I have keys? Please, my key don't lost. So, see, you are listening to me. Let me give you a walk. Pray for me that I will keep on telling the truth. It's my desire. You know, I don't plan to go to hell. Remember? Yes. We don't plan to go to hell. It's my desire. So, if two of you shall do what? I agree. At least, you know me and you are in agreement. That I will continually speak the truth. That I will not be tired of it. That I will not be swept off by the desires of other things in this life. Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. Pray that my faith will not fail. I'm teaching you the word of God. See, if my faith fails and things go wrong, it will take you a few months to you'll be confessing, I don't care about bank you. I believe the word of that is it will be hard for you to separate me from the things I have said. So for your own sake, pray for me. Pray for me that if I want to backslide, I will die. Yeah, pray like that. That God keep this man standing, you know. But if he's too heavy, and console his wife. Because my wife is looking like, which kind of prayer point with that? We'll see in heaven later. Is it not better? Yes. Now, don't pray that I will die. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm just saying is that No. If you are praying for me, if you add that one to it, it's not bad. So when you now look at the possibility, you will pray the other one stronger. Say, Lord, is it Jonadab? That wicked soul? The cousin of Amnon. Is Jonadab? Yes. Say, Lord, any Jonadab or backslidden Ahithophel in his life, throw them from the balcony. Yeah. Paul said, pray for us that we'll be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men. Because not all men have faith. They come to church, they don't really believe. It is not every time God reveals something. People will come into your midst with their hearts. You think their hearts are open. You think they are sincere. Except God revealed. Paul Peter said, God, only you know the heart of man. So that's what Paul meant. He said, not every man has faith. I'm talking about how you pray for me as a person. You say, dear Lord, you know, Pastor Banky quotes that scripture a lot. He said, behold, I will make prosperity flow towards you as a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Say, Lord, confirm it in his life. Why? So that he will not start telling lies. That Bible calls all manner of prayers, all kinds. Now, not because you have anything personal. Now, it's good for you to be personal. I'm not saying personal is wrong. But the issue here is that you understand that as of today, that name is equivalent to the teaching of the word of God. Is that word of God you are trying to preserve? This is what this man is known for. This is what he stands for. This is what he represents. There's one prayer I pray for myself. David said, Lord, let not those who trust in you be ashamed because of me. Yeah. You know, one of the greatest testimonies I've heard, it's not a bragging point, I give the Lord glory, just to give us an idea. A friend of mine, I talked about him once and he was a very good friend. He lives in the U.S. He sends money to Kingdom Word every year. He does that. He said one day, he just told me that one day they were in his office, a doctor. They were in the doctor's common room. They were talking, people, Nigerians this time around. They're talking about fake preachers. All of them had the need for money. And you know, when they finished talking, he interrupted them. He said, I know two of them that are not doing it for money. I don't know about other people who say, I won't say anything about that. He said, two that I know are not doing this for money.
He mentioned my name. He mentioned Pastor Courage. Then he told me. So he just said, let me tell you what happened at work today. I mentioned Pastor Courage, that you are not doing ministry for what you want to get. See, I don't believe you sustain such things by human effort. No. I don't. See, these are the kind of things, you understand what I'm saying? You pray. But you know, many of us, we can forward. One pastor fell, you forward it. There are things I don't, God, no, this finger wants to live long. In fact, I don't forward bad news. So, if APC rig election, PDP rig election, NDC, I don't forward it. Some of you are merchants of bad news. When they are counting 1, 2, 50, 30, 65, you will share the video. Me, I will watch the video, but I will never share. You don't get the point. I don't share it. Bandits behead somebody, and you forward the video. You are a wicked human being. Me, I don't even open it. Most of the time, I get all these things from one of my classmates. That's the only place I get to. People, I don't have any other place we share things like that around. That's the only place. And usually by the time I get it, comments are already going on it. So I don't watch. I don't even click to download. Bam, I just hold it and delete. Let me not get sidetracked from there. Many people, they forward that. This preacher was caught lying. They caught him with down that. We forward it. Why should you forward it? Are you a bearer of bad news? Like one man said. He said, do you know the pressure those who are in front, they go through? He said, they are wounded soldiers. So if you find a wounded soldier, should you celebrate his injury? You pray for restoration. I was telling you how to pray for me, right? I have not finished though. You pray for my wife. Because man will never increase. Your wife, no day matter. If you are still sin, I know your wife is okay. I come for Bible study and your head is correct. And your wife is okay. But if I come, then I know good. She's so young. Start talking to yourself. What is it? Then I know that her. So your wife, you don't reach your matter. So you pray for my wife that God will bless her, that God will give her peace, and that she will give me peace. All these children that God gave me to raise, and I better pray for them too. So that my mind won't be occupied with anyhow things. All of this because you want the word of God to be preached to. Now, I've given myself as an example. Am I the only pastor there? Am I the only teacher of the word? You owe everybody. There are two groups of preachers you owe. Number one, anyone that you listen to that blesses you. Everything I've said now, you owe it to the person. And number two, once you know this is a true preacher and he comes to mind, pray for him. They say, God wants us to pray. Paul said, pray for us. In fact, the day I found that scripture and I put it on my status, people began to call. One of my friends, one pastor, all of you know him, I just won't mention his name. He called me, he said, man of God, is everything okay? I said, no, it's scripture. He called. What's going on? Everything okay? I said, no, it's scripture. It's scripture. I just want to remind people they should be praying for us. He said, okay, so there's nothing. I said, okay, nothing. Are you sure? I'm very sure. Don't worry about it. Maybe there was something, all right? But maybe it wasn't serious. I can't remember for sure now. But at least I just realized that, no, people should pray for you. I'm watching my time. Let me close. This, like I say all the time, we don't come here to pray. We come here to learn. That's Kingdom Word, School of Prayer. So all those prayers that we take at the beginning, we always pray for this nation. And you have never heard anybody ever stand on this pulpit, whether it's Pastor Okemute, whether it's a tall reverend, whether it's Brother Jonathan, Elder John, who else? Anybody, whether it's my wife, Felix, who else has ever stood up here? Eh? I just knew there was one thin man I was missing. That's Pastor Dami. You've never heard one of them pray against witches. You've never heard any one of them pray against enemies of your destiny who are looking for your placenta.
Anywhere your name is being mentioned. All these men are mentioned. You never heard any one of them say it. And they don't pray such nonsense prayers. So where are you learning your own from? And let me just tell you, some of you, if you claim, I finished my message, let me just say this one, then we can go home. Chief, we'll go home now. If any one of you say, you listen to me, and you add nonsense, join. I don't know what I should do to you. Somebody finish listening to you. And somebody is now, come on, show a seat for your breakthrough. Now they'll get up. I just like, this one doesn't listen to me. This one is confused. There are things you can't mix. Some of you are lay hold of one and don't let go of the other bad one. You use that scripture upside down. There are things that cancel each other. If you are listening to me teach you about prayer, you can never pray in the power of your good works. You can't wave a tight booklet. You can't wave the check stub with which you give offerings. You can never quote your good works before God. Otherwise, this is not a threat. It's a fact. You will learn the hard way. Where I'm going is that you can't come here, learn about how to pray. Then you go to mountain and join killing further and die. Today I remembered one comedy I watched some time ago, how different people pray. The man said, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Die by fire, die by fire. If I even ban everybody that listens to me. Don't ever say on my enemies, Holy Ghost fire. It's nonsense. Where should Holy Ghost fire go? On my head. On you that's hearing the word of God. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fire went to the Pharisees. Holy Ghost fire went to the Roman soldiers. Okay, went to the house of Pilate. Where did Holy Ghost fire fall? On the apostles, on the disciples that were waiting in the upper room. Let me pray for you. On your head, Holy Ghost fire.
Amen.
In your household, the fire of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Let it burn all over the place.
Amen.
Let it empower your anointing.
Amen.
Your ability to do good.
Amen.
Ability to have visions.
Amen.
Ability to help other people.
Amen.
Ability to preach the gospel of God.
Amen.
Ability to pray effective prayer.
Amen.
Ability for your children to grow in health.
Amen.
To know God from their youth.
Amen.
On all these things, Holy Ghost.
Fire.
Thank you. That's it. That's where Holy Ghost fire should fall. How can Holy Ghost fire fall on my enemies? They'll not be causing me trouble. You go to court, God will now give you adversary, a mouth that none of his own adversaries can resist and give. Say, you lost your case now. Because when you are coming, you say, on this lawyer today, Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. I say, no problem. The guy will be speaking fluently. Destroy all your case. When you want to go to court, say, Father, upon my head, fire of the Holy Spirit. Fire of the Holy Spirit. Let it burn. Let it burn. Let it shine. Christians, that's how we pray. So please, let me summarize what I'm saying. You pray for the body of Christ. I just tell you how to pray for a preacher. And you owe it to him more. I found out that Jesus said, times come in which Satan desires to sift people like wheat. Nobody's too big for that. Paul said there was a time. Do you understand? Paul, I personally consider that I'm not as strong as Paul was. Maybe I'm wrong, but you said, no, you don't think I'm wrong. You know what me say maybe I'm wrong is I'm trying to be smart. Yeah, the same Paul said it got to a time we're so pressed, we despaired of life itself. You know what? We're tired of living. So when Jesus said, I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail, there are times that it appears like your faith wants to fail, and it happens to everybody. And what keeps people at such times? The prayer said for them. And prayers are not hard. I don't mean to be critical, but you don't need drums banging. Bang, 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 to pray. Prayers are simple. Father God, I'm praying for this man of God, this preacher. This is my pastor, whoever your pastor is. Father, don't let his faith fail. Father, don't let his faith fail. Help him in the time of distress. When he's weak, Lord, make him strong. Send him help. Let a word of encouragement come. You know, God wants to do things. He just wants somebody who has power on the earth to say it. We're talking about higher prayers. Let's bow down our heads. Let's just give the Lord thanks for today.
When we pray like this, believe me, Jesus said all other things will be added. We will not need many of these other things. They will be added. They will be added.